Bless you.
Hey, church, why don't we put our hands together and welcome Pastor Kerry. First message of 2019.
First message. Well, good morning, people. How are you this morning? I'm so happy to be here. And I am. I am excited. I just know that 2019 is going to bring a lot of really, really good stuff for me. Now, I don't know about you. Who's made New Year's resolutions already? Three of yous. Great. Well, you know, I spoke last week. I said Matthew chapter 6, 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. How many of us make New Year's resolutions and we don't seek God first? And then we get to the end of the year and we think, oh, I've got to do that this year. I've got to do that next year. I've got to do that again and again and again. Well, seek first the kingdom of God. Above all else, do that. And see how 2019 goes for you. I'm definitely going to do that. And I'm just so excited. Also, there's a couple of people here. I just want to... It's amazing that Pastor Fred shared with you that last week. Yeah, I did. I shared that I've been not struggling, but I've been in a I've been struggling. And I'm allowed to struggle. You know, and we had a message from Damien G from Shalom a few weeks ago. He said it's all right to be angry with God, and it was like something broke in me. So I thought, you know, I don't want to be angry with God. But I was. And it was just such a freedom to say, yeah, God, you've got bigger shoulders than me to be able to do that. And in my struggle, it was that I was trying to do things on my own. As a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a friend and a mate, I was trying to do things on my own strength. And the Lord got me into a position that I hope none of yous ever get, that I was in a position of despair until the Lord said, now I've got you. So if you are in that situation for 2019, if you're looking forward to 2019 and you're going, oh, I'm not sure about this, God's got you. And this morning's message I want to bring with you this morning is Yahweh, Sabaoth. So everyone say Sabaoth. Yeah, good on you. Okay, so Lord of hosts. Did I ask you to say Lord of hosts? I just asked you to say Sabaoth. You've got to work with me here. Okay, or you're going to be repeating my whole... Angus Baxter. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is something you're going to take away with you this morning. I know it. Angus Baxter in The Search of Your British and Irish Roots describes a pattern that was popular in England in the 1700s and 1875 and still is popular today. Did you know that the first son was named after the father's father? And the second son was named after the father's father? And the third son was named after the father? The fourth son, if you're lucky to have four sons, was named after the father's eldest brother. But the first daughter was named after the mother's mother. The second daughter was named after the father's mother. And the third daughter after the mother. And the fourth daughter after the mother's eldest sister. I don't get it. Is that what I heard? I don't get it. But if this pattern would result in a duplication of names, such as both grandfathers had the same name, then they would skip to the next one on the list. Aren't you glad you came this morning to find that out? Happy New Year. Names are fascinating, aren't they? But the names of God in the Bible are an account to all themselves. See, his name has been revered and abused more than any name on earth. However, one day his name will be honoured by all. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 11, it says, because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him the name that was above every other name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. So if you're sitting in this room today not knowing about Jesus Christ, or you might be here with a friend and you go, ah, religion or Jesus Christ is not for me, guess what? One day your knee will be bowed and your tongue will be confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, because the Word says so. Now, today is our last message in the series Known by His Names, and I think it's fitting that we start the year with this. End of the series, start of the year. And so far we've considered the following names: Elohim, El Elyon, Adonai, El Roy, El Shaddai, and Yahweh. And for those who are visiting, they're all on the internet if you want to download them and listen to them. So we end our series with the name Yahweh Sabaoth, and I want to really focus on Sabaoth. That's the Lord of Hosts. Now, the first time we see this in the Scriptures is when we see a mother crying out to God for a child. Now, this woman was having difficulty at a time of bearing children, and the Scripture lets us know that she cried out to Lord Jehovah Sabaoth to solve this problem in her life, and we pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3-11. It's 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's on the screen as well. It says, this man went up from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But Hannah, his other wife, he would give double portion, for he loved Hannah. Although the Lord had closed her womb, and her rival also provoked her severely. So let's go back. Peninnah, okay, made it very hard for Hannah. So her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. When Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better than you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all of my days, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now, you see, this mother recognized the honor of bearing a child. In fact, during Bible times, if a woman could not bear a child, she was considered to be inferior to other women who could. Now, we know that today that's not true. But God heard Hannah's cry, and Samuel was given to her. Now, do you know what the name Samuel means? It means a gift from God. Here we have a woman in anguish, upset with God, upset with her circumstance. She's getting picked on by her husband's other wife, who's got many children, and she's sitting outside the temple in tears, pleading with God. And then God suddenly gives her a gift, a son. You know, children are a gift from God. You know, once they arrive home, the home is never the same again. Now, you two just got married. You did. You just got married, yeah? So one day you're going to have kids. Your home will never be the same again. Children are a gift from God. And as parents, we've got to remember that. Though this answered prayer, Hannah discovered that through the Lord of hosts, she could do the impossible and have a baby, and that the Lord of hosts is over all events of her life. So in your outline this morning, let's have a look. Who Yahweh Sabaoth is. Yahweh Sabaoth means Lord of hosts. Every day of our life, the Lord of hosts is working in our life. Many times he's doing it and we can't even see him doing it. I've got a lot of times in my life where I go, oh my goodness, how did I get out of that? Or I'll be driving along from point A and then go, how did I get to point B? Oh my goodness. He's always there looking after us. A good example of this can be found in 1 Kings chapter 6, 15 and 17. I love this. Actually, I just want to read you the whole bit. Let me read you the whole bit. Give you some context in it. And we'll pick that verse up in a minute. But let's go to 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Now King of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded, will you not tell me which one of you are on the side of the king of Israel? In other books, which one of you guys is a traitor? So he's angry. None of us, my lord the king, said his officers. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, the king declared and ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. This king, he's angry. And he's sending his big army to get one person, okay, just to put you in context. They went there by night and surrounded the whole city. So here we pick it up. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Now we hear that, don't we? We hear those words, alas, master, what shall we do? As if you're in some Shakespearean theatre. But it wasn't alas, it was alas. What shall we do? That's how he would have said it. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, for those who are visiting, look that up. I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened up the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, in this passage, Elisha and his servant woke up and heard the enemy circling outside their camp. The servant took one look and said to them, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" Because alas means expressing grief and concern. Okay? That's what alas means. Now, Elisha answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, if we had been there and saw what the servant saw and heard what Elisha said, we would have thought, here we are staring at death in the face and Elisha is losing it, wouldn't we? Wouldn't you? Maybe not. Okay, it's good. From what the servant could see, it was only him and Elisha. But Elisha talked like there were thousands on their side to help them. You know, he must have felt like the man from the city that moved to the country, and you know, his farmer neighbour visited him one day and invited him to a party that night, and the farmer said, "I've got to warn you, there might be a lot of drinking going on at this party." And the man replied, "Well, I'm not a drinker, but I can handle it." And the farmer then said, "Well, I need to warn you that sometimes there's going to be a lot of fighting that goes on at my parties." And the man said enthusiastically, "Well, that's okay. I enjoy a good fight every now and then." And the farmer said, "Well, I've got to warn you that there's going to be a lot of dancing." And the man replied, "Well, that's okay. I can handle that. I don't mind dancing." And the farmer then gave the man directions to his cabin. And the man was leaving and he said, "Oh, what should I wear tonight?" And the farmer answered, "Doesn't matter. It's just going to be the two of us there." But the servant that was with Elisha must have felt like that he was with a strange dude, just like this farmer guy did. He looked around and all he could see was two of them. But then look at verse 17. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. See, we all rejoice that God is Elohim, the creator of the universe. But listen, I am also glad that he is the Lord of hosts that works in our lives every single day. Every day there are many things going on in our lives that we cannot see. But the Lord of hosts surrounds us each day, protecting us from the evils of Satan. Now, there are many times in our lives that he has intervened that we were not even aware of it. And the Lord of hosts is with us each day to protect us, even though we cannot always see him. Listen, the Lord of hosts still works in our lives doing the impossible. No matter what storm of life we're facing, we need to know that the Lord of hosts is there to take care of us. And I love this little story of a little girl who gets it. A little girl walked from home from school each day. Though the weather one morning was questionable and the clouds were forming, she made a daily trip to the primary school. And as the afternoon progressed, the winds whipped up, and along with thunder and lightning, the mother of the little girl felt a little concerned for her daughter, that she'd be frightened as she walked home from school. And she herself feared that the electrical storm might harm her child. Full of concern, the mother quickly got into the car and drove along the route of the school to where the school was. Eventually, she spotted her little girl walking up along, but each flash of lightning, the little child would stop, look up to the sky and smile. As the next flash lit up the sky, the little girl just stopped, looked at the streak of lightning and smiled. Finally, the mother called her over to the car and asked, "What are you doing?" And the child answered, "God keeps taking pictures of me, so I keep stopping to smile for the camera." You and I need to feel the same way during storms of life. We need to stop, look up to God, and know that He sees us, no matter what we're going through. You know, we can stop and smile because we know God is with us. Our God is the Lord of hosts that deals with all the activities of our life. Activities that we can see, and many times activities that we cannot see. Question I want to ask you today, who are you? Are you an Elisha or are you a servant? Do you know that God is with you? Or are you going through life making decisions and doing things and then calling on God? You see, Elisha had a really good relationship with God. He spoke with God daily. He sought Him out for wisdom and direction in everything that he did. He could see, Elisha could see everything. Whereas the servant, he didn't have that relationship with God. And I think some of us are like that servant. We do life and then we get scared and we go, oh my goodness, what's going on? But then who do we turn to? We either go to a friend who knows a lot about God, or we go to the pastor. And we're scared. Who are you? Are you an Elisha who's got a strong relationship and is secure? Or are you the servant? It's a good question to ask heading into 2019. Number two, what Yahweh Sabaoth expects. You know, the Lord of hosts is Lord over all, yes? He's the Lord over all. He lays down ownership to every human being who has ever existed. And because he can truthfully claim ownership, he has every right to require certain things from us. For example, he has the right to say how we worship. In Psalm 24, 7 to 10, he goes, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, as the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. See, it is the Lord of hosts who directs us to worship, and yet He is the object of our worship. We as believers in Jesus Christ are to spend our time in worship to the King of glory and the Lord of hosts, Almighty God, and Him alone. He also directs us how we to use our money. Money is a really private matter. That is, it isn't polite to ask people about things that deal with money, isn't it? But the Lord of hosts has every right to talk to us about money because actually it all belongs to Him. He gives us strength to earn it. He gives us skills and wisdom to earn it. And He gives us life to earn it. See, if you trace every cent and dollar that you have ever made, you will trace it back to God. Every single one. The Lord of hosts has every right to talk to us about how we spend our money because in essence it all can be traced back to Him. And He tells us what we should do with that part in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 and 12. He says, "Bring all your tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now on this." He says, "Test me," says the Lord of hosts. "If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke and devour for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be delightful and be a delightful land, says the Lord of.
Good.
See, the Lord of hosts tells us that if we give the tithes and offerings that belong to him, he will bless us. He has the right to say that. He has the right to say how we use our money. He also has the right to say how we use our time. I love this. I want you to listen to this as we're finishing up. One of the most precious gifts that we can give anyone is our time. Because when we give up our time, we're giving them our life. Now, we're all allotted so many hours, and we need to be careful how we use them. We don't know how many hours we've got, but we've been allotted so many hours of our life. Now, when we give our time to the Lord, we're giving him the most precious gift we can give to him. We are giving him our life. But the Lord of hosts claims that he has the right to require that we spend our time serving him. In Romans chapter 12, 1, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask?" When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? You know, some people have the attitude, I don't mind giving him Sunday morning every now and then, maybe twice a month. But to demand that I give him 24 hours, 7 days a week, that's ridiculous. Is it really ridiculous? The Lord of hosts is the one that created time. It all belongs to him. He entrusts us with these precious days so that we might go out doing good, as he did when he was here on earth. He gave us life. He created us. And here we are going, well, we'll give him 2 hours this Sunday. Don't we owe him more than that? He is our creator. He's our provider. He's our strength. He gives us joy, peace. Two hours on a Sunday. Can I have the worship team up? You know, the Lord of hosts has it all in his control, doesn't he? But we have a choice. We have a choice. We can carry the world on our shoulders, like I did for a few months. I'm just being honest with you. And trust me, you can only do that for a short time. Or we can say, I give up. Lord, here is my life. I give up. That's where I was a few weeks ago. On my knees, going, Lord, I give up. I can't do this anymore. I need you. I trust you as the Lord of hosts to control my life. What is it going to be for you today? This week, this year, 2019. If you have never made a commitment of your life, I urge you and challenge you to do that right now. You know, I've heard a lot of people this year already, and the end of last year, that people want to spend more time with God. You know, and people have always said to me, they said, only if God gave me some more time. Well, I'm here to tell you, God's not going to give you any more time. There is 24 hours in a day. He's not going to give you 28 hours in a day so you can spend another 4 hours. Oh, there's 4 hours I can now worship Him, praise Him and pray to Him. He's not going to do that because He knows that if He gives you 28 hours in the day, you're going to fill it up. You're going to fill it up with Facebook. You're going to fill it up with Instagram. You're going to fill it up with having TV on. Fill it up working too hard. You know, God is a God of relationship. You men need to hear this. If you're working too hard, you've got to stop that. You've heard the acronym of busy, haven't you? Busy is being under Satan's yoke. The enemy wants us to be busy. 2019, Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. We've got to be dinkum. We've got to be dinkum of who we really are. Because, look, we can pussyfoot around all we want, really. I'm being serious here. You can come to church on a Sunday, every Sunday, and be fed the word and be entertained or whatever you want to do. But are you dinkum about who you are in Christ? Because guess what? You are going to go through trials. You are going to go through tribulations. You are going to go through hard times. And if you don't have that relationship right with the Lord, you're going to crumble. And you probably come moaning and crying on your knees to my office and go, what shall I do? Help, help, help. Are you a servant or are you an Elisha? Do you have the confidence to carry out 2019? That is the question. I've got the answer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, some people have their TV on in the background in their homes. I've actually been around the homes and I've got the TV on. How about turning it off and putting on some gospel music or something? You might go, but just try it. God's not going to give you any more time. If you really want to worship God and get into His Word, make time this year. Surely we owe that to the Lord of hosts, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of you and me. Now, this year I'm praying that you'll all have an adventurous discovery of having a closer and more intimate relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Elohim, El Elyon, El Adonai, El Roy, El Shaddai, and Yahweh Sabaoth. I want to leave this encouragement for you for 2019. It comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7, where Hezekiah is talking to his people before the battle of with Assyria. Assyria had just taken out Judah. And they heard King Hezekiah, they heard that they were coming towards Jerusalem. And these are the words that he gave his people. And these are the words I believe I'm going to give you today for 2019. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria or his mighty army. For there is a power far greater on our side, on your side. You know, there might be a great army out there, but they are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us. You don't have to do life's battles on your own. God is with us. We've just celebrated Christmas, God with us, Emmanuel. Let's pray.